The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Navigating Your Life show, featuring host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. In the next hour, the goal of the show is to help you with the challenges facing you and potentially change your life forever. Now, here's Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams.
Well, good morning to you. I hope all is well and we all had an outstanding weekend. So much is going on around in our world, and it is at times a little dizzying to stay abreast of it all. But today we want to take a step back and to try to examine an issue that sometimes goes unexamined. And it's the issue of people who have individuals with special needs that are part of their family. And I think that that's an important topic because it is one in which for many years people were ashamed to talk about if they had a person had mental retardation, who had autism, who had Down syndrome, who had any kind of intellectual disability. And about a little bit over a year or so ago, my wife and I found out that one of our twins, we had a boy as well as a girl, and the boy has autism. And that has dramatically changed our lives and has increased a sensitivity to the issue of individuals with special needs. I've worked with them professionally for the last 25 years or so, but it's always interesting when something comes a little closer to you. So I've asked a colleague of mine who I've worked with for quite a number of years, who's also recently graduated from one of the universities I attended, Lincoln University, and she is a parent of an individual with special needs who happens to turn 20 this Saturday. I'd like to welcome Terry Large to our show. Terry?
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Good day. How are you?
Very good. Can't complain. Well, Terry, we're going to dive right into having this conversation about an individual with special needs. So do you want to describe to our audience a little bit about who your special person is?
My special person is my daughter, she has initially, when we found out that she was had these challenges that were both physical development and emotional and mental development, it was at an early age. It was about 6 months where we were really intently questioning it. But it was at that time, very short thereafter, that realizing you have a child with special needs, that parenting her was not going to be any different than parenting a child without a disability. That was my philosophy and approach early on.
And were there some challenges that you had to maintaining that philosophy, Terry?
Absolutely, Dr. Williams. Primarily, when you go from early intervention,
we'll stop there for a second. Terry, what is early intervention for our listeners who may not be aware of what that is?
Early intervention is from birth to about 3.5 years of age, where there's entitlements to supports and services for your individual with disabilities. And when first finding out, it took a few weeks before I embraced it and ran with it and became empowered. And finding out as much as I could about how much I didn't know about early intervention, which is all the supports and services, therapies, stimulation, normalization, exposing your child into healthy developing environments, that was a bit of a challenge.
What you're saying, Terry, is that it's important early on that once you know that there's something special about your youngster that to have an intervention as early on as possible, because they may have some developmental delays, but if you can intervene and get them sensitized to stimuli and get them sensitized to interventions, that possibly as they progress, that early intervention could make a big difference to how they're able to function in their later years. Is that a correct description?
That's correct, Dr. Okay. Williams.
So you were starting to say that starting an early intervention as you began to work toward education, there were some challenges with maintaining that positive attitude and upbuilding attitude. So please continue what you were saying.
Well, you know, when we first got involved in early intervention services, didn't really know that there was a way that you could receive these special type services in a least restrictive environment. And just through networking and, you know, becoming empowered, found out that, in fact, I can take my child to the preschool that, you know, another child that I would, you know, have, or someone else without a disability. That was an entitlement. And
when you say an entitlement, entitlement by whom? Who gives you that entitlement?
The age range, like I said, from 0 to 3.5 okay. is funded through early intervention services.
Is that a federal program, Terry, or a state program?
That is a federal program.
Okay. Well, one of the things that in the last couple of weeks of putting this show together, we've been looking for listeners to call in and offer their thoughts, and we have a listener from Jeffrey from Pennsylvania who has a question or a comment that he'd like to share. So let's invite Jeffrey to offer his question or comment.
Okay, thank you, Dr. DeWilliams. My question is to Ms. Terry is, what are some of the challenges, you know, with a special needs child being involved in, like, social events? What are some of the challenges involving her, like, in social events?
The challenges tend to be other children that may not have been exposed to a child with special needs. And for me and for our family, that was quite difficult at times, with other children not quite, you know, giving our child the respect or treating her as an equal, or trying to include her in their...
Terry, if you could speak up a little bit and make sure the phone is right to your mouth, because you're trailing off, and we want to make sure we hear what you have to say.
Sure. Sorry about that. So socialization with, you know, other children without disabilities was one of the greatest challenges. And, you know, children at a young age not being exposed to a child with a disability tend to treat them, you know, differently right from the gate. And
so Terry, do you think it's, you know, this whole conversation about inclusion in regular activity and normal activities that everybody else is in part of, and it goes on to the educational system as well, where they don't suggest that you put them in separate classrooms, is that you include them in the other class activities of the individuals that are grade appropriate, age appropriate to them? What are your thoughts about what needs to happen for the person without a disability, as well as the person with a disability, to try to make that social inclusion that Jeffrey brought up work a little bit smoother? What needs to happen on both sides?
Well, I believe one size does not fit all, but I believe that certainly you need to start there. It was a benefit to us as a family in starting there, and I think that as I've moved through the system, so to speak, I've found pros and cons to both.
So you're saying you felt there were times in which it would have been good to be segregated and other times it would have been good to be integrated. Is that, am I capturing your...
In my situation, yes. Again, I don't believe one size fits all, but I think absolutely inclusion does have great benefits.
And what have been some of the challenges that you've seen, especially going back to Jeffrey's question about social activities? When would you say maybe not to be involved in a social activity? And again, I understand your point that one size doesn't fit all, but just looking at life through the lens of Tiffany and her experience, what would you say that maybe the social activity was maybe not the best thing for Tiffany, And I think we should point out there are times in which we'll have the same conversation about social activities for a person without a disability. But looking at the social interaction through the lens of Tiffany, what would you say have been some of the reservations you've had?
I think that it was more my issue than her issue.
Wow.
Quite frankly, letting go and being comfortable with having her in social environments and not having me present. For whatever reason, it just seemed to be somewhat reserved and concerned, is she going to be safe? But socially integrated up until about seventh grade went really well for her.
And then after that, it had some challenges. Well, let's do this, Terry, if you don't mind. We have another caller, Paula from Minnesota, that we will take just before we go to break, which will be going to break in about 2 minutes. But let's have Paula join in and pose her question or comment. Paula, please.
Hi, this question is for Terry. What was your initial reaction when you found out that you had a special needs child? How did you prepare?
Well, the initial reaction was, wow, I think it took about 3 weeks, quite frankly, for me to grab a hold and move forward. So from that time of acceptance and moving forward, I just, you know, got empowered, insulated myself with as many people that I could that understood, you know, what this is to be a parent or, you know, raising a child with special needs. And for me, that's what helped me best.
And so, Terry, if I heard you correctly, there was a period of time where you went through a little bit of a shock that you found out that this was, did you have any inklings before? Because one of the things that, you know, really stunned me one time when I was talking to a colleague, and as you and I both are in the field of human services, and the person looked at me like, you didn't know that there was something wrong, and really was very inquisitive. And in my situation, my son, you know, had a problem with his hearing, and we had thought more of his delays was due to his hearing more so than anything else. But I would assume you went through a period of just coming to grips with, this is a challenge that lies ahead. Am I correct or not?
You are correct. And quite frankly, when I remember back, it was the pediatrician who early on I started questioning. He was like, no, you can't compare your child to your friends or your siblings. You just need to, you know, give it time and see how it goes. And it was about the 6-month threshold where I was like, I'm not satisfied with these milestones. We really need to find out what's going on here. Through that perseverance, then we dug deeper and had a lot of thorough medical examination and did find out what, for the most part, what we were contending with.
Wow. And so on the other side of the break, which we're going to take in about 30 seconds or so, I want to talk more about when you talked, you mentioned about it in seventh grade, that was a little bit of a transition for you as it came to social activities. And then I also want to talk about some of the other domains of life that exist. I want to talk about have there been any health or you know, some of the financial issues, some of you're dealing with your family and your friends. So I want to try to help our listeners get a really good overview of what it's like parenting an individual with special needs, because again, it's something that hasn't always been talked about. We have a recent situation where John Travolta, whose son was thought to be autistic, was finally revealed to be so, and I think that whole situation of holding off and waiting until you have to confess that this is an issue is something we need to talk about. So we'll do that after the break.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large. Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio, each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, thank you for joining us back again. We're having a conversation today with Terry Large. She is a colleague of mine, but today we're talking with her about her circumstance of being a parent of a special needs individual. As I shared earlier, so am I. And Terry has a 20-year-old daughter, and I have a 3-year-old son. And it's people like Terry who have fought very hard for the rights of individuals with special needs that need to be recognized in our community as being people that really do make a difference, and I'm sure that my son will benefit from the hard work and the battles in which Terry, as well as other parents, have fought for. So I thought no better person today to help us have this conversation than Terry. So, Terry, you were talking about, before we went to break, about the seventh grade, and we were talking about, with Jeffrey's question that he had posed one of our callers in the first 15 minutes of our show about the social part, and you were saying around the seventh grade there became a little bit of a transition to go through. Can you please explain to our listeners what that transition was?
Well, it was then that moved away from inclusionary practices, educationally thinking, into small setting. Actually, it was the teachers and the professionals that came and felt that it might be in her best interest to try to give her more intensity in small classroom setting. So pulling her away from including her in a normal classroom setting to pulling her out and putting her in a self-contained classroom where I was with the perception she would receive intensity. And part of the reason that I went with it is because of the socialization change. You could see that her peers, you know, were becoming less and less, those that wanted to come over and spend time with her and, you know, engage with her on the computer or inviting her to parties and things. It was dwindling. And it was very emotional for me. I can't imagine, you know, how she felt.
So you saw, Terry, that when she became, she went to a circumstance where it was just people with similar kind of challenges, all the things that you wanted for her seemed to lessen rather than increase.
Yes.
And I think that that really does bring up a conversation that we'll have, I guess, in a later show, is regarding the whole point of congregate, you know, living or congregate experiences. And we see this very often in the issue of special education and other circumstances, especially also, as you just mentioned, with special populations, that the tendency is to put everybody who's like everybody together, and then we question why they don't excel and why potentially sometimes they get worse rather than better. And I think in your situation, you saw that there was somewhat of a plateauing, if not a little bit of a regression in some of the things that you were looking for.
Yeah, there was, Dr. Williams, but I fault that there wasn't enough support behind what I was driving for. Like I said, it was teachers and professionals that really thought that that was better. Mm. But you know, when I think about early intervention and not knowing better way back then that she could be included, you know, if I just went along with what I was, you know, the information I was given and didn't look further, I would have never known. And I can't begin to tell any of the listeners how valuable that is to try to include your child in the less restrictive environments whenever possible. Windows of opportunity open and close, and you want to try to take full advantage of that as much as possible. Yes, okay. It's costly, but it's got its real benefits.
And if I'm hearing you clearly, Terry, as well, is that the professionals are really good at offering their thoughts, but you have to make that decision yourself based on a whole litany of information that may come your way, and just because the professionals may say one thing or another, you really have to try to weigh that out against sources both live and in person, as well as on the internet and in other networks that people may provide. And I think that's, if I hear you correctly, Terry, that's an important thing to do, is to not just take it just because the doctor said so, because there's so many individuals, especially older parents that you hear talking about, that the doctor said this is the only thing we could do to save our family and ourselves, and they have since learned to understand that that suggestion may not have been the best. Would you disagree or agree with that, Terry?
I would agree with that, and I think at times we as parents of raising children with disabilities, we get tired, and we tend to give in, but try to stay empowered, try to stay strong, and try to look for more solutions rather than settling.
Terry, you're trailing off a little bit, so if you
can
really
try to press forward, try to look for solutions rather than settling. You had made reference to, you know, what's better, inclusion or segregation, and early intervention, early on, when I saw that my daughter was included with other children with multiple different types of disabilities, not only did she have her stuff, but she started gathering more stuff just because she was in an environment that was not thriving, was not giving examples of normal behaviors. And it was soon after pulling her out of there that we recognized there was a true benefit. And I even think that that's happening even still today with her, not having enough opportunity for normal environment, exposure to non-disabled situations.
So are you saying, Terry, that when they're exposed to primarily disabled or other challenged individuals, that they start picking up behaviors that they didn't have before?
I strongly believe that. I've seen that.
Wow. Well, Terry, let's just make a natural caveat or a natural transition to talking about what, if anything, did it have as an impact on your family and your friends, having a youngster who is now a young adult with special needs?
Well, the social arena definitely changed there, too. You know, there were the true friends that stuck by you and supported you and, you know, said those wonderful, kind things, and there were friends that just could not relate and moved on. And that was challenging for me as a parent, and just going through the walk of life. You many times felt alone.
Well, And were you a two-parent home in this situation, or a single-parent home as you were journeying through this this challenge?
For the most part, for the first 6 years, we were a family unit, and it took a toll on us.
That's something you hear very often, is having a individual with special needs does, you know, bring on some strains to the marriage. Would you say that to be the true or not true? And if so, what are some of the things that people, that you think people could do to try to ward off that challenge?
I truly believe that does happen. I've had a lot of friends through, you know, this experience that I've seen similar things happen. I would encourage people to try to gain unity within their family system. I think that there's where lies a breakdown, when there's this non-acceptance that this child of yours has a disability, that you need to try to educate your family as much as possible and help them embrace that. When they're, you know, kind of pushing that off and saying, oh, you know, this is just a milestone, that things will be different in time. That's really, really difficult on a family unit when people don't accept that. And I think that definitely had an impact within our family dynamic at times.
Sorry, Terry. So when people find themselves in this challenged situation, where do you go when it comes to family and friends? Where's the place of comfort when you're dealing with these kinds of circumstances? Where did you find a place you could truly let your hair down and feel comfortable and feel supported?
Well, I found it with those friends that stuck by me. You know, being able to have them as a social outlet, to be able to express your frustration and express your desires and, you know, have them as a sounding board. That's where I found comfort, family and friends that supported me in my beliefs for our child.
Well, as we get ready to go to the next break in about 2 minutes, I wanted to just share with you a book that I wrote to Terry, and it really came out of the realization that, you know, my wife and I and our family had some challenges ahead of us, and I really, when I thought about it, it broke down to really recognizing we needed to be mature as we face this challenge. And so that helped me come up with a list of, you know, 8 things that I thought would be the most important thing we needed to do. And I wanted to share with you on this side of the break, and then you can let me know what you think just before we go and when we come back from break. I thought it was important that we have the role of maturity, which means that there are no more excuses, and we have to have some courageous conversations. And that's how I define maturity. And when I say no more excuses, I think you will understand that you begin to start wondering whether or not this could have been avoided, if this would have happened, and so you start thinking about rationales as to why they were. The second thing was the role of having universal love, which is to recognize that I have to be open to people that are going to come into our lives and really love others unconditionally. And thirdly, the role of fellowship. I need to recognize we're on our own, but we're not alone. There are other people like you and others who have also gone through this. And, last, before we go to break, was the role of reflection, which is to take some individual time so we know who we be, because I think we can lose that. So those are the first 4. We'll cover the other 4 when we get back, and then I'll hear Terry's thoughts on the Mature 64.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, thank you for joining us back. We were talking about, before we went to break, about the book that I recently wrote called The Mature 64, which was in response to learning that my wife and I had a son with autism. And some of the things that we spoke to about among each other about what we needed to do as we dealt with this journey to stay together and to be strong as a couple and a family. And our guest, Terry Large, was commenting about how important it is to recognize that you're going to have some challenges to all of the relationships that you have because of this special needs person that is now a part of your life. And I was sharing with you that there are 8 roles. And first was the role of maturity, which is no more excuses and to have courageous conversations. Secondly, the role of universal love, which is to learn to love others unconditionally. Thirdly is the role of fellowship, is to recognize that I'm on my own, but I'm not alone, and that I need to invite other people to be part of this journey with me. The role of reflection, to spend some individual time to just make sure that I'm thinking clearly and mapping out a plan for the future. And the last 4 roles is the role of promptness, which is understanding today is here and we need to make the most of it. And especially with a person with some challenges, you need to deal with things as they come up and not put them to the side, because there are lots of times other issues that will then follow. The role of pristineness is to recognize that every place has a home and it's not all with you. So recognizing that there are some issues that are yours and others that belong to other people. And also environmentally, for a lot of individuals with challenged experiences, trying to keep things clean and organized is also important. 7th is the role of following particular methods, recognizing that there are no shortcuts, and lots of times if you're following a regimen, it's important that you stick to that regimen and don't deviate from that. And last but not least is to understand the role of accountability and responsibility, which is, again, as I was talking to ourselves about this challenge, I needed to recognize that we need to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do and not because there's some boogeyman or some bad thing that we expect to happen. So I realized that working all those 8 things, maturity, universal love, fellowship, reflection, promptness, pristineness, following particular methods, and accountability and responsibility was going to help us forge forth in dealing with this challenge. And then I recognized, boy, that as a chief executive officer, as a person who's working on different task forces, as just as a husband, these issues of maturity spoke to lots of different aspects and lots of different roles that I had, in addition to being a father of a special needs person. So I share that, Terry, for you to share your thoughts about whether or not you believe that provides any useful guidance to yourself and to others who have special needs individuals that are part of their lives.
Absolutely. One of them, the role of universal love. You find people at times not being with you totally on your situation, and then they're, you're in the wrong place. You need people to be with open arms to the situation in which you're contending with, and to include you in any opportunity with them without any reservation. And I found myself at times people not being accepting of the situation because we were maybe out having dinner or something, and our daughter was, not the most well-behaved, and people, sometimes take offense to that. So it's a complete package, and if you can't accept it, then I guess it's not showing that you have universal love, and I need to move on.
I think, Terry, that also correlates to the issue of pristineness, of just recognizing is that sometimes these things are your problem and sometimes they're other people's problem. And when you talk about, the behavior, I remember taking our family out for dinner to a wonderful restaurant that we love in New York that has the best steaks in the world, and he was making some noises, and I think the waiter had thought that these were noises that were basically under his control, and could I tell him to cut it out? And and he was basically asking if we needed something in order to help him stop making the noises, and we didn't even get into explaining as to what the circumstance was, because he got a little quieter naturally without anything needing to be done. But I just thought, boy, as a person who's worked with people with challenges for a major part of my career, if not all of my career, it's an interesting thing being on the other side and having that, question posed to you. And you really do feel a sense of it's just such a hurtful, question is, basically that, they were posing. And so just recognizing that there'll be some challenge, but a lot of times it comes from just not being aware that sometimes these things come from. And you just have to journey on. And it's not a good idea to stop going to those kinds of places. It's important that you continue to do that, but just make sure that you scout it out and you make sure it's a time that's going to work for everybody. Terry, your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I was reflecting upon some of the other things you said with role of fellowship. I found that was important. Having fellowship with family and friends and,
And Terry, did you find any groups out there? I know you and I, for a short period of time, I think, or I followed you after you served on the Developmental Disabilities Council here in Pennsylvania, which works on trying to help innovation come to the system by supporting grants and other thought processes to improve the lives of individuals with disabilities. But have you been part of any other groups that have really made an impact on your life and giving you some support and fellowship?
I think systems of support. Early on, I applied and navigated the system of the waiver program,
Just so our listeners understand, when Terry says the waiver program, the federal government provides money. Medical money to help individuals who need that, and there are programs that tries to offset that money by saying that we don't have to spend as much money on this medical model if we use this community model. And so there's a waiver to the Medicaid monies that states have an opportunity to apply for. So Terry is talking about having some ability to get to some of those waiver funds that has made a difference. Terry, please finish what you were saying.
And I can't, you know, there again, encourage people enough to find out as much as they can about these systems of support that they don't know about early on. Get on the waiting list for services, you know, knock on every door that you can, network, because there is assistance out there, and there is fellowship, and there is support, and it's just so reassuring when you find the people in your support system that you need, that you can carry this, you know, without a challenge. It's just navigating and knowing where to go. So network as much as you can and keep pressing forward.
Terry, one of the other things that the Mature 64 talked about was no shortcuts. And I know, you know, it must be a real challenge, especially as the years in which you were a single parent, to not want to take some shortcuts, to potentially, you know, even though you're supposed to, you know, hold the line in this particular area, just to say, you know what, forget about it, we'll just go along to get along kind of mentality. How did you find that, how did you stay strong in not wanting to take some shortcuts, not yourself or allowing others who may want to take the easy road out in dealing with your daughter? How did you deal with that?
I just feel that I had a way of being resilient for, I think that having, you know, faith and just leaning where I needed to, and, you know that you can't do this alone, gave me the strength to move forward. It wasn't easy at times, truly, and I certainly, knowing you're navigator of life, there was many a times that I didn't have that imbalance, but, you know, time and learning and growing through the processes, you become stronger. And you perfect that.
Well, one of the things, Terry, that's been really neat to watch in your situation is that as you spent so many years, and I didn't recognize that Tiffany was 20, you've been spent so many years fighting for her, you've taken the last couple of years to still fight for her, but also to do some stuff for yourself. And could you just tell our listeners, we have about, you know, 2 minutes or so to break, but before we go break, could you just tell us a little about what you've done for yourself to try to give back to you, because you've given so much to your son and daughter over the years. And when we get back from the break, well, I want to talk about your son because he's a special guy and serves as our impromptu babysitter when the last minute comes around. So he's a special guy in his own right. But before we do that, Terry, talk about yourself and how you've invested in yourself in this last couple of years.
Well, my investment for the longest time was in the children, putting them first. I just felt that everything has its time, and it was their time. And a little more than 2 years ago, I felt that I had a strong support network around me, and it was time for me, that if I didn't embark on this pursuit of higher education now at that point in time, I possibly couldn't get there. So I reached for that. I grabbed it, and I moved forward. And as you know, Dr. Williams, it was within very short order that I made that decision and ran with it. And
so tell our listeners what that decision was, Terry.
Well, that was to pursue my Master's of Human Service degree and concentration in counseling with Lincoln University. And it was just perfect timing. And I had sat down, you know, with the children. Of course, Tiffany couldn't fully understand and explained that, you know, for a period of time I would need to go away, so to speak, that it was my time and I need their support. And I can remember up until the night before starting school that my son kiddingly came to me and said, you know, Mom, I really don't think this is the right time for you to go. I really don't know about this. I don't want to see you have to, you know, not spend the time that you've spent with us, you know, for the next 2.5 years, and then he turns around and says, I'm really just kidding. You got my full support.
Wow.
And from that moment, I just pressed forward, like I said, in many things in these challenges that we do. And I didn't think that it was reality, but here we are.
Good. We'll talk more about John on the other side, that wonderful son of yours. Thanks so much.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
To Work Radio is a dynamic conversation about the challenges of creating America's future workforce. Host Elaine V. Scott engages leaders and working people from business, education, health, government, media, and community sectors about what it really takes to create our future workforce. What does the future hold for the workforce? Tune in to Birth to Work Radio for surprising insights, unusual perspectives, and a bold view of new behaviors needed to redefine community leadership. Birth to Work Radio, broadcasting Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back. We have with us a special guest in Terry Large, and our topic today is parenting an individual with special needs. And just before the break, we were talking about Terry's son, John. Terry has two children. Tiffany, who's going to be, is it going to be 20 or 21?
20.
20. And John is going to be, John is, how old?
John just turned 16.
Wow. So one of the issues that when you have a situation with a family that has a child with special needs, is sometimes the other children run the risk of sometimes falling off the radar screen because of the energy and time it takes to deal with the other issues there. But I think one of the things that have been most impressive is that in Terry's situation is she's made time for both children. So, Terry, tell us a little bit about John and what makes him a special young man.
Well, John is seemingly gifted socially and very bright academically, and what's made him special is his care for his older sister and how he's been there in a moment to step in any time that someone might be giving her a hard time. If a child is being disrespectful to her, calling names or whatever, he'll be the first to stand right up and help them understand that that's not the way to go about this, you know. Having Tiffany for John, it has built a tremendous amount of character. And like you said, it's also in its own right presented challenges to John, because there were certainly times in which he did not get the time and attendance that a parent should be giving just because there's certain situations medically or other that are going on. But I'm so very proud of both of them. John has carried his own at times, and he's certainly a mature young 16-year-old who is.
And I understand he has some very big plans for the future. Do you mind sharing what those big plans are?
Well, John seems to think that something possibly in the legal field or the medical field is where he's going to take things. He's certainly interested in pursuing a very good college degree, and at this time he's envisioning an Ivy League college. So it won't be but too long where we'll be going out there and exploring that.
Wow. And do you think that his desire to be a lawyer and to stand up for the rights of others, do you think that that possibly has anything to do with his older sister and the work that he's seen you undertake, or do you just think it's just he likes to argue and win?
Well, he certainly is a great debater, but I think it's certainly has a relationship to what he's seen myself and Tiffany contend with over the years. I definitely think there's a correlation there.
And Terry, you know this because you've experienced it. There have been times in which, you know, I've had to go places at the last minute and weren't able to get my mother-in-law or someone else to come and help out with the kids. And I've picked up the phone and called you and John and asked, could he come over and help out? And he's really just been, you know, been wonderful. And, again, a true testament. You guys have so much that's going on, but someone could call and say, hey, can you help out? And he's been there without question and has done so with a very pleasant attitude, and so we appreciate that, and it's a real testament to what you've done as a mom in trying to raise two children that society and everybody else can be so proud of. So I give you my congratulations on both fronts. And watching Tiffany over the years, I don't know who Tiffany thinks I am, but you know she gives me a level of respect that is rather interesting. And again, I want to congratulate you on a job well done. You still have a lot more years to go, Terry. That's sad to say, as being a parent, it doesn't end at a certain point, and especially with a person with special needs, it may go on and for forever. But I know you're up to the challenge. And on the personal side, I know that you're now on the brink of being remarried, and so how has that been for you to go from the start of this journey with Tiffany in a two-parent home to a single-parent home? Now you're potentially going back to a two-parent home. So for you, how is that all coming together?
Well, it was interesting getting started. I guess there was some fear that I had, but of not feeling that was normal, because I've longed for it for, you know, so many years, and it just came along so nicely. And yes, we're looking into the future next year to unite as one, and it's been wonderful. He's unconditionally, has love for the two children, and it's just been a great support to me during the last part of my schooling. Without him being there pushing me forward, it would have been even more so challenging.
Wow. Well, Terry, I want to sincerely thank you for all you have done, all you will do, and the role model that you are serving for so many people, and congratulate you on all that you've accomplished, both professionally and personally. And I just want to encourage you to keep your head up high and understand that I think that you'll continue to be blessed because of the things that you have done and have the plans to do in the future. So I want to thank you for being part of our show today. I think you've offered our listeners something very special.
Thank you very much, Dr. Williams, sure, for your kind words and your support.
Sure. Well, to our listeners, we're getting ready to wrap up another show, and I do hope that our conversation with Terry Large today has been helpful to you. And we all have individuals in our lives that just require a little special care, a little special attention. And hopefully some of the things that Terry talked about today could give you some insights on some of the things that you need to do and some of the things you need to keep in mind. And an hour is a long time, but it isn't always long enough to cover all the different areas that I'd love to have talked with Terry about, but I'm sure in the future we could have her back to lead us through that conversation. So as we get ready to wrap up our time together, I want to encourage you to take some time for yourself to reflect and to think about where you want to go and to put together a plan to make it happen and to recognize if it isn't written, it most likely will not happen. So with that said, I look forward to having you join us back again next week. Navigating your life.
Thank you again for listening to the Navigating Your Life Show. Please join Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams again next Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a great week, and here's hoping your life will change for the better forever.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.